Ray and Tay today. Yes, Sports Radio's on. Talking sports with friends, and you know we got it on. From the NFL to the NBA, MLB and college hoops do it all day. College football, we know who's number one. Understand, on the phones, you know we get it done. So call in 718-664-9098 and we'll give you more. Talking sports.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and we are hyped up coming to you on a Thursday. You're not ready for that. So we got our segment, You're Not Ready. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, tweet at us, Facebook interviews with a lot of writers and ex-former athletes, coaches. We got everything for you from every sport. So check out our site and also shoot us your emails. Let us know who you pick for the NBA Finals. Obviously, Monday we'll be back with our NBA Finals preview. But, you know, let us know. RayandTayToday@gmail.com. Ray, it's a busy show. We got a lot of stuff off the field. We got NBA, NHL Game 7s, which you and I both predicted, MLB talk, A-Rod's doing his thing, and then our segment to end the show, You're Not Ready. I got to start with you off the field. Ray, do you want to play left tackle for the Giants or the Broncos to protect the Manning brothers? What's going on in OTAs, man?
Well, I'm not big enough, strong enough, or skilled enough to play left tackle to protect either of the Mannings. But the latest news is Ryan Clady will miss yet another season. And that's
so
just terrible. Torn ACL. And this guy went down last year. He's not going to play anything this year, and he's supposed to be there to secure Manning. And you know, one of the things that Manning needed, especially in that Super Bowl against the Seahawks 2 years ago when they got just demolished from that first snap that went over his head, is just some toughness and some consistency in that offensive line, especially in those tight playoff games. And Ryan Clady is a heck of a player. So you just hope for his sake.
Yeah, he's been, what, six Pro Bowls or something like that? You know?
Yeah,
he's legit.
Just hope for his sake that he'll be back next year.
Well, they're saying with the injuries, though, it's twice now on the left leg, so they're saying he might have to move in the guard. It might be not career-ending, but position-ending. He might not be able to play tackle or might have to go to right tackle. So that'll be interesting just to see health-wise where he's at. And then, you know, you hate to hear about these different things with these injuries and the Giants lose their left tackle. You got AP and Zimmer and Twitter and you know, basically Adrian Peterson is going to play for the Vikings or nobody else. I don't think they'll buckle and trade him. You know, we're waiting to hear on Greg Hardy and Tom Brady what's going to happen. But basically, right now, the whole world, not America, but the whole world is talking about the FIFA scandal. The election is going on. Will Blatter win again, or will this other guy who, you know, is really kind of seems like he's on the up and up to come in? But when you have nine execs, but not the head, and FIFA does not show their minutes, they don't tell their salaries, there's all this corruption. Now it's breaking news that Nike is, you know, they're saying, just like the steroids guys, not knowingly, you know, caught up in paying off the sports people that allowed them to beat out Adidas, get exclusive rights to Brazil, and, you know, for their Brazil team, for all their friendlies before they, you know, went overseas. So, Ray, this is all a mess. What can they do to fix it, and eventually do they have to oust the president? Which might not be possible.
Let me just say that FIFA is a mess. And
yes.
Jeremy Schapp and ESPN did a great job of exposing about a month ago, knowing that this was going to, at least the elections were coming up. And the thing about FIFA, it took a U.S. court in Brooklyn to try and do this because, I mean, that's such a weak connection. But the folks in CONCACAF and the folks that do the America's Cup are probably just as bad as the people at headquarters in Switzerland. And you said it, though, there's no oversight. There's no governance there that lets you have any insight into what's happening. So nobody knows what's happening. It's like cloak and dagger. And the crazy thing is nine guys are indicted, and who knows, there'll be more. But
right, and I think 13 in total, I mean, so far.
13 in total, and there'll probably be more, but the head honcho skates free. So that, you know what that tells me? That he's smarter than everybody. And he's probably operating in gray area. So he probably didn't take any bribes. He probably didn't outright take cash, because you hear about how Qatar and Russia and some other of these alleged, improprieties about getting the rights and the TV rights, and so much money exchanging hands and so much money under the table. So
yeah,
FIFA is a mess, and you know what? It won't get cleaned up for years and years and years, because there's no incentive. You know, that piece by Jeremy Schapp was really good, and it was insightful. I didn't know that the small countries make just as much money as the big countries, right?
And that's what the president put in, Seth Blatter, and that's what's so smart about him, right? So when they vote, the small countries, they'll vote for him. So he's got Africa and Asia in his back pocket, and it's brilliant. It's sort
because,
of like,
exactly.
Oh, wow.
So there's no reason. And these guys, they don't care if you're a small country and you get your share of the FIFA pot. You don't care about the corruption and what happens in Switzerland, and
no,
you're not
too much
gonna
money.
You're not gonna get a World Cup anyway, so you don't care if Qatar gets it, or if Russia gets it, or if Brazil gets it. Who cares? South Africa. You're like, all right, as long as I get my cut, and as long as you come over and do a FIFA school and a FIFA sponsorship and get us some clothes and get some Nike gear and some Adidas gear.
No, it's brilliant. It's brilliant,
all
man.
Good.
It's a shame. It's
years
a shame.
To unwind. This is not going anywhere. It's not going to get cleaned up as fast.
You just hope
as
it doesn't
like.
Affect what American fans know and love, which is the World Cup, right? Because the average American fan pays attention to soccer and the Olympics or the World Cup. They don't, watch Premier League and all the different leagues.
I think the game will be fine. World Cup will be fine. It's such a big event.
That's what
event,
I'm saying. It's not
going
to really affect any of this stuff. Yeah, so let's get to the real news. Before we get to the NBA playoffs and our NBA finals is set, what in the heck is happening to Tom Thibodeau and the Chicago Bulls? They fire another coach after Phil Jackson, after Vinny Del Negro, now Tom Thibodeau. If you were a head coach, would you really trust this organization to, like, let you do your thing, be the coach, and not find fault with you within 2 to 5 years or something? I mean, I don't know, Ray.
You know what? It's like Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. So I don't know if trust but verify is the right term here, but it's basically trust and have a big buyout clause. So if you want
to... That's a mess.
You know what? It is a mess, but it's still an attractive job. That's the thing.
Oh.
It's an attractive city. They have an attractive roster. Now, granted, there are better rosters out there, but there are a lot worse
rosters. Oh, it's a top-five team. Top-five team with talent.
So you've got to say, they'll still be at the top of people's lists. So, but people have to be, I bet you the negotiations will be a big, fat buyout clause. I don't know if Jerry Reinsdorf will agree to that, but... Basically, this is a great...
But they're going to probably hire somebody that doesn't have that clout. The front runners are Fred Hoiberg. There have been rumors about him since January.
The
he played
mayor.
There. The mayor from Iowa State. Or everyone loves Alvin Gentry, the offensive guru who's on the Warriors bench and was, obviously did well in Phoenix and other places and has been around. And we'll see what they do, because they were concerned about their offense. And he's a player, friendly coach and former player in Gentry. So you got two former players, both role players in the NBA. Hoiberg is more famous in that sense, but Gentry was a backup point guard. So do you think that either one of those is a good hire? And then the rumors are for Denver, they're going to just promote Melvin Hunt probably. Orlando's talking about Scott Skiles. And our boy Jeff Van Gundy interviewed formally with the Pelicans. Does Tibbs beat out one of those three guys for those other three jobs? That's the question.
So I will say this. Tom Thibodeau is one of those guys that will grate on your nerves. And even though it ended up badly in Chicago, I could see this happening in any city that he's in the sense that Jerry Sloan is one of the few guys that could be that kind of tough guy that can last forever. And eventually,
but it was because of his leader. It was because of Stockton and Malone.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And so eventually, though, he and Darren Williams butted heads, and the organization ended up going with Williams, and then a year later trading him. But that's a whole other story. I think Tibbs can't last more than five years in any organization because he'll just grate on you. And especially if you're not winning, right? It's one thing to grind and play D. If you win. But if you come up short, then the player's like, wait a minute, this is a player's league, I'm not having any fun, Tibbs grinds me in practice, the games are a grind, everything's a grind. So he's no fun to play for, especially if you don't see success. So to me, Tibbs is one of those guys where if you're a slight tweak away, so here's a perfect team like the Phoenix Suns. Let's say that you felt that the Phoenix Suns had a roster and all you needed was some defensive intensity and some philosophy, and that you were that close to winning a championship, then I'd bring him in. But to me, some of the teams that are being talked about, except for, I guess New Orleans would be the best, you know, team potentially. But right. you might have, in Jeff Van Gundy, you might have a more likable Thibodeau, right? Jeff Van Gundy's a defensive guy. We always hated his offensive rotation, his offensive philosophy.
Yeah.
But you might have a guy that's slightly
I'd take his brother over
weight.
Him any day, but, yeah.
That's true.
Nah, I love that's Jeff as the guy. I just, as the coach, I feel like he underproduced in Houston with McGrady and Yao Ming, even though they had injuries and some other talented players. And, you know, I just think with the Knicks, there was too many shortcomings. So maybe he's changed in all the years of broadcasting. I definitely think he's insightful, and I know he can coach.
Scotty Skiles coming back.
Well, I love Scott Skiles to Orlando. I think I like that. And he's a little ornery and all that, but he's – yeah, he played there. He's not as much as Tibbs, and I think Skiles would be a good fit. But I think this is the one thing about Tibbs, with a young team like Orlando, who's definitely on the upswing in the East, with a lot of young talent, the young backcourt, my man Nikolai Vucevic, who should have been most improved with his stats, 19-11. You know I love him, and Peyton and Victor O. So they've got. They've got a nice little nucleus, a nice little future.
Tobias,
yeah, he's a free agent, so we'll see if he comes back. But then, then Gordon they've got. So we'll see. I don't know, but I think Tibbs could sort of teach them, and not to say like, oh, Tibbs, we will only do a four-year deal with you, but, with the team option for the fifth. But, I mean, maybe that could get the team where they need to be, and then somebody else swoops in and takes them to the chip. I don't know. And that sort of happened with what we saw last night. And we can sort of leave the coaching stuff behind and congratulate the Golden State Warriors. First time in, 40 years? Amazing.
Exactly 40 years.
Back
Alvin
to the NBA
Adams
Finals.
Gave him wasn't that
great?
The trophy. That
Rick
was
Barry
awesome.
And Alvin Adams. I mean, look, we were young then, so it's not like we really remember it, but it was just at the time when we were getting ready to really get into basketball. And but the Warriors, they're back. And what's fascinating about it?
Before we talk about the Warriors, just one thing. Just note the fork in the road. You know, like Yogi Berra said, is a fork in the road. We'll take it or pick it up or whatever he says. Think about the fork in the road for Steve Kerr. He could have been the coach of the New York Knickerbockers. And
right.
He wouldn't have done all that much better than Derek Fisher, if at all. Maybe 17 games, maybe he'd have won 20 games, 22 games, maybe 17, maybe 15, I don't know. So the guy wins 67 games and is in the NBA Finals, or he could have won 20 games and been in the lottery. So think about that in terms of like flipping
in one decision in your life, yeah. And it's something
and
that the whole world could see.
And he did it because of, well, I don't know if he did it because of the roster, but, you know, the reason he gave, maybe this was just a good, you know, a feel-good story and a way out for him and for Phil Jackson. But he said it was basically because of his family and his family being on the West Coast, and he wanted to be near them. And he was just, you know, a family guy, and that what basically drove his decision. But what a change of events.
And not just that. I think what's fascinating is that he really asked a lot of his veterans to sacrifice. And you saw the star players were very much in support of Mark Jackson, and they went to him last night. And I thought that was just kind of beautiful, because it's like Mark did all the grunt work, and then Steve came in and, you know, got the trophy, sort of, and maybe he gets it. But, you know, sort of like everything that happened with Buck Showalter, and we spoke to Bob Brenly about that when he was on our show. And, you know, it's got to be rewarding for Mark, but also hard. And I think he'll get his chance again, and I think he's a very good coach. But when you say to Iguodala and David Lee, look, I need you to take lesser roles, and you guys are, you know, multi-time all-stars, you know, Iguodala on one of the Olympic teams, you know, that's a lot to ask. And he was smart enough to say, I need to sort of change this team just a little bit, just to tweak it. And then you throw Jerry West in there, who didn't want to trade Clay Thompson and his little contribution, and it's just a perfect pot. And I think to sum up everything, in a closeout game at home, and they do finally, you know, win 4-1. Steph Curry didn't have a great game, but listen to a not-so-good game for him. 26 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, and 5 steals. How amazing is that? That's how good this guy is. Harden doesn't do anything, 13, 6, and 5. And I want to ask you this question, because you know how I feel that, and I've made this bold statement about the Rockets, that they would never win because Howard's not a winner. 18 and 16, he played pretty well in this series. But he says at the press conference afterwards that he's still a champion. In what world, because he won in high school, but I mean, Ray, in what world do you sit there when you just lost in 5 that you are still a champion? Is that crazy talk to me?
Wayne's World, party on, party on. Hey, Garth, what's up? Wayne.
Dude, what's he smoking?
I didn't even hear that.
Yes.
I checked out.
Yes.
The contest was, Dwight, do you feel like a champion? And he said yes?
No, it was like, you know, he basically is like validating how he played, and he said, no matter what anybody says, you know, I'm still a champion. And
you
I'm
can
like,
say no matter what anybody says, I still played hard. The team gave all the effort. We did our best. You know, maybe a ball bounced one way or another. We still think we're better than Golden State, or we can play with Golden State. That's all legit. But to say you're a champion of what? You're the best team in Houston? I mean,
Division? I mean, come on, yeah.
Oh,
crazy. You know, you feel for the Rockets. They did the, you know, look, without having your starting four and your starting point guard, defensive play, and another versatile front court player, and Muntianis and Beverly.
And that's a big deal, you know.
It is a big deal.
They give Mikhail credit. Give Howard
great
credit
coaching
for bouncing
job.
Back from the injury. Give Harden credit
great
for,
coaching
you know, other than,
yeah.
We'll talk about this game 7 egg that he laid. But other than that, he had a wonderful season. It could have been, you know, MVP in any other season. So, nothing to be ashamed of if you're the Houston Rockets. In fact, an excellent season for Daryl Morey, Kevin McHale, and the whole Houston Rocket organization. Nothing but
better
love.
Than most people predicted, and most people did not predict them to get to the Western Conference Finals. And then to do that, especially with the injuries, even last night in their loss in Game 5, 6 guys in double figures, so there was balance. You know, from the starters to Brewer, Terry, all these guys. You know, they contributed, but it wasn't enough, and James Harden just he shot horrible. He just did not have a big time performance.
His whole game was off, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, the
you
turnover
could tell in his body language. It's one thing to not shoot well. You know what? Like
right.
John Starks went 2 for 18 in 94.
Yeah, he
just didn't shoot well.
Night.
He tried, but he just didn't shoot well. The ball just wasn't going in, and that's okay. I could live with that. But James Harden just seemed out of it. he seemed off. I was waiting in the press conference to see, was he sick? Was it, you know, did something happen off the court? He just was checked out. And for a guy who 48 hours earlier played maybe the best game of his career, I was thinking to myself, what happened? And everything about him was off. You could just see. And again, like I said, shooters can be off. That's okay. That happens. That's a physical, you know what? If you're physically, you know, the ball doesn't go in the hoop, it happens. But James Harden's whole, spirit wasn't there. And he was sloppy.
The free throw line is the only thing that saves him. 10 for 13 from the free throw line.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that saved him.
And he had 13 turnovers, set a record for turnovers. Because usually you do 4 or 5 turnovers, you
ridiculous.
Got pulled out of the game. Your coach doesn't leave you in there to have 13 turnovers. And just he just looked out of it, just completely out of it. And I don't know what happened. Maybe he didn't sleep the night before. Maybe he was nervous. I don't know what happened. But this was like the 2012 finals when he was with the Oklahoma City Thunder, where they won game one. And then LeBron, Wade, and Bosh came back and swept the next four. He just didn't look like – he looked like a shell of himself. So
no, it was definitely bizarre.
It doesn't detract away from his season one bit, though.
No.
He still had
a
marvelous season. I just don't know what happened in game seven. I don't know if somebody slipped him something in his pregame meal or what.
Yeah, in game five.
Something was up with
listen,
James Harden.
We got to give props to your boy, Harrison Barnes. Huge game. I think, and we're going to talk about it, we'll do the preview on Monday, but just looking forward, 24 points, you know, Clay had 20, Steph had a 26, but the one thing that you realize when you look at the Cavs and this rest, and Kyrie will be at the best he can possibly be, which might be 80 or 85%, we'll see what the rest does with the tendonitis and the knee, you start to look at the matchups. And the one thing that you notice about this team, they don't have that much scoring if the Splash Brothers aren't scoring. And it's where Golden State is very beatable. And Shumpert will probably be on Curry. And LeBron could be on Thompson or Barnes. You don't know where they're going to hide Kyrie. Maybe they put him on Barnes. Maybe he, you know, I don't know what they're going to do with that. That'll be fascinating to see. Because I think Shumpert will probably start on Curry.
We got a caller. Hold on. A caller probably wants to talk some NBA. Let's put the caller on the air. Hello, you on the
Hello?
Air, Ray and Tate?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, Arn?
Yeah, you know, I had to give a call. Yes, indeed. What's going on?
No, we appreciate it. What's going on with you? How you feeling with the NBA finals are set? What'd you think about the game last night, and what do you think about the finals?
I think James Harden, I heard you talking about, I think he was just exhausted. I mean, this dude has been carrying them the whole season.
That's
He's
a great point.
Carrying them. I mean, the night before, he had 45 points. Before that, he had almost a triple-double. I mean, he's bound, and I turn over to a cause of just exhaustion. He's doing too much by himself, and he's getting no help. And when you have to do all those ISOs to create and do that, it wears on you because the way they play defense, he gets his, but it's hard points. And I think he was just exhausted, and mentally he got exhausted because he didn't feel like he was getting any help from me. And I think he, you know, you got to also give it up to Golden State a little bit. They demoralize you when they start hitting threes, and it's not just Steph Curry.
Yeah,
and that's
you're
the thing
right.
where they're going to see the Cavs going to get a taste of that, too. You think you shut down the main man, and now you got Harrison Barnes hitting threes like he's Steph Curry. Draymond
he's
Green.
He's the key to the series, though. I think he's the key to the whole series for the Warriors, for Barnes. I really do.
I think, you know what, I wouldn't be surprised if Draymond Green steps up bigger than Harrison Barnes, honestly, because the way these boys have been playing, I first thought Steve Kerr wasn't getting the accolades he should get, but I have to tip my hat to him. To be able to make that team transform, and you remember, he's got David Lee come up the bench, which Mark Jackson did not have.
Exactly.
Look how potent they are. You know, Bogut is playing. He plays D. I mean, he was holding down the middle.
Yeah, we talked about
and holding down Dwight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We talked about Iguodala and David Lee, both guys who, if you look at the resumes and if you look at their salaries, these are guys that probably command starters' minutes. They certainly command starters' dollars. And so to convince them to come off the bench, but you're right, though, the Green and Tristan Thompson matchup might just be the one to look at to see, you know, which style prevails. Because, you know, LeBron's LeBron, Kyrie hopefully is healthy, and he'll be Kyrie. The Splash Brothers are the Splash Brothers. So those two, and again, neither of them have any real playoff experience. So this will be real interesting to see that power forward matchup. And especially if both teams go small, you know, because these guys might end up playing each other at the center position.
Yeah.
But the only thing about this series you got to consider is David Lee, I think he's actually going to have to play because he can rebound. And he's a person that can give you the 12 to, you know, maybe 10 to 13 footer, you know, the jumper. He can score on the elbow, and he can even score inside. And with Bogut not scoring, when you talk about having LeBron at the 3 and Draymond Green, they're undersized against Thompson and Timofey. And Timofey Mozgov is playing out of this world. It shows you how good LeBron makes the ex-Knicks, because Shumpert and JR and Timofey are killing it. And I think that Cleveland's size is going to force Golden State, you know, they'll keep their starting lineup with, you know, Draymond and Barnes, but I think you're going to see Lee play a little bit more. He didn't play that much in this series, but I think he's going to play a little bit more. They're going to need him.
I really don't see Mozgov doing what he's doing against Golden State, against other teams, because they played against a lot of banged-up teams and no real center. He's going to be going up against Bogut now, who's actually got defensive mindset right now. So he's going to get his, but it's going to be harder for him to get his.
It's funny that you said that, Azili, too. Because Azili had a nice little series.
Yeah.
He's got some confidence, and if they want to go big, now they can.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But let me ask you this, though. With the Splash Brothers, right? The one thing you're noticing, if Draymond Green's shot is off, he's not scoring that much. So if you don't get the scoring from Barnes and Shumpert and LeBron put the clamps down on the Splash Brothers, which is very doable and very possible for them, you know, Golden State could have spurts where they have trouble scoring, and they might have to, you know, bring in Livingston, Barbosa, you know, try different lineups. I think it's going to be very fascinating with kind of two rookie head coaches and the adjustments from game to game. No matter what, and we're going to give our predictions on Monday, I think this is going to go 7 games. And I don't think in this series, I honestly don't think home court matters, because LeBron can go to Golden State and win, and Curry can shoot in any building and win in Cleveland, you know?
Well, I say this. I think that the difference is that Steve Kerr may be a rookie coach, but he's a rookie coach that knows how to win, because he's won.
And he's got five titles, yeah.
And he's played with the greatest player ever played the game. So he knows what to do to how to get Steph Curry to get what he has to get. The problem is that Golden State plays better defense than Cleveland. So it's going to be a defensive matchup, but when you're looking at Shumpert's overachieving right now. Is he going to be able to do the same thing with Golden State defending them? And the thing is that you can get Golden State down by double digits. They come back. You can't count them out of a game. They're notorious for coming back 15 down, 16 down, and it's wiped out quick before you know it. Oh, they're back in the game. Oh, they're leading now. So, you know, it's going to be – LeBron's going to have to – and if LeBron hasn't shot the ball that well, he's going to have to really have better shooting percentage than he had against the Hawks, because he really didn't have great –
Yeah, he's been horrible from the three-point line. Yeah.
What you said is right, though. That's the most disheartening thing if you're an opponent of the Warriors, is you're never safe. No lead is ever safe. I mean, they could make up a 20-point deficit quick, fast, and in a hurry, because they shoot the ball so well and they transition from defense to offense so well that, you know, there's other teams that shoot and there's other teams that defend. But this is a rare combination, and I think I haven't been giving them credit enough as to what they do on the defensive side, which leads to unbalanced court, you know, situations, and they're able to hit threes. And like you said, in 3, 4, 5 minutes, you make up 10, 12, 15 points. So you're up 20, and you're thinking, oh, we're all good. No, you're not. Not against this team.
And they demoralize you. I mean, when you have a fast break and somebody's pulling up for three and hitting it, that's demoralizing. Because what are you going to do? You're trying to your basic line of defense is stop somebody from penetrating into the lane. They're not penetrating. They okay, I'm past half court now. Let me pull up.
And let me ask you this. Can Draymond Green slow down Tristan Thompson and the Cavs, who have been dominating on the offensive glass? That's where Golden State, the Cavs getting those second shots, that's going to be an interesting piece. Golden State's not tremendous on the rebounds. Bogut's good, but Timofey's as big as him, and then Tristan Thompson is bigger and sort of quicker to the ball than Draymond Green on that glass.
Golden State's got more offensive boards over the Houston series than Dwight Howard and Josh Smith could get them. And they don't have rebounders like that on Cleveland. Tristan Thompson's one man. Yeah, he's going to get his. But think about it. They went against Houston.
Yeah, but LeBron rebounds well. And Timofey, listen, LeBron almost averaged a triple-double for that series. So when you're getting 11 boards and 9.5 assists and 30 points, and he didn't shoot well, I mean, what else could he do? If he starts to get his jumper going in the gym and brings that to Oakland, to the Roracle, goodness gracious, he can maybe score 38. I mean, don't underestimate Cleveland and LeBron and the boys.
Both of you, it was the Hawks. And, I was high on them, but when I saw them in game two, I said, this series is over. When they play horrible D, they were just, it looked like they were just happy to be there. And, they squeaked that. The Wizards should have been.
Let me ask you this. I was going to.
Let me just say something real quick. I will say this, that the Cleveland Cavaliers had a pretty easy road to the playoffs.
Heck yeah.
And they basically skated through. We expected Chicago to give them a little bit of trouble, and they sort of did for maybe two, three games.
Right. That's
and,
fair.
And this Hawks team was not only undermanned in terms of star power, but then when Culver went down and Carroll went down and, they were done. So this team really
But the Warriors didn't play the two best teams either. The Warriors didn't play much either because they didn't play the Clippers or the Spurs.
True.
Those are the two best teams in the West.
The Warriors played in the Western Conference, though. You could argue that throughout the regular season, there's 67 wins with that unbalanced schedule. Having to go through those top 10 Western Conference teams is pretty amazing. So in that respect, can you say that the Cavs are at a bit of a disadvantage because they haven't really played tough playoff games together yet?
Definitely the Warriors are the favorites going into the NBA Finals. That's without question, especially because Cleveland is more banged up. The Warriors, I said this, whoever seems like the champion might be the healthiest team, and the Warriors are the healthiest team. And if you think about it, luck is on their side, and maybe you could say it's the basketball gods or destiny, because their two splash brothers both just got hurt with the craziest things, the knee to the head for Thompson and that crazy fall for Curry, and they're both okay.
Yeah.
Even though they said Thompson, he threw up on the car ride home with his
and
dad.
And they both have a week to rest.
Right. But yeah. I'm just saying those injuries could have both been out for the finals, and they're not. So sometimes, you do get a break and a little bit of luck. Let me ask you guys this, and then we'll let you go. But I just wanted to throw this to Ray, and I'll ask you, did the Hawks and the Rockets, going towards next year with what they did this year, did they both hit their ceilings? Can they get any – could either one of them ever get to a final, or was this sort of their plateau?
What do you think? You jump in there first, and then I'll jump in.
The Hawks, they need to change that team up a little bit. They're never going to go past where they got to with that team. I think that one thing has showed them that Kyle Korver is more of a liability on the court than he's worth with threes, because he does nothing for them defensively. As far as Houston, I think that you're going to start to see that, that's the thing with the Clippers too. When you have a big man that's so talented, but he's a liability on the free throw line and is foul happy, that can't carry you so far. When you get down to teams and coaches that say, okay, we're going to disrupt your rhythm by keep on fouling your big man because he's only 48% from the line. So if he does 60%, that's great, but that's still nothing compared to an average free throw shooter who's 77% from the line. I just think that Houston, Harden needs help, period. He can't go through the regular season and get to the playoffs and the game changes tremendously and try to carry that team on his back. So I think they both – I think Houston is a piece away, but Atlanta has a lot of fixing to do. I think they have a lot of fixing to do.
100% agree. I think that we've said this before, but in the modern era, in the last 35 years, only the Detroit Pistons of 04 is a team that you can honestly say didn't have two, if not three, superstars. You need two to three superstars to win. So Atlanta, right off the bat, doesn't have superstars, so they're not winning a championship anytime soon. They need to blow up that roster if they do. Blow up their rosters, maybe, you know. I don't know how you get a star, though, at this point, right? You got to either draft them or you got to blow up the roster and make a crazy trade, you know what I mean?
Right,
so
and Carroll and Millsap are free agents. Those are the only two real major players that are free agents, so I don't know
what
they could
do. So they got to decide what they do, but just as that team is constructed, they can't win a championship. History tells us that. On the other side, Houston, they have – two stars, and that's Howard, obviously, and Harden. But the problem is that Howard, like you said, if he really did say that he thinks he's the champion. You know,
did you hear that,
O?
Did you hear what he said at the press conference? Oh, he's a clown.
And I think
I don't care what anyone else
says.
I'm still the champion.
We got to give Kobe Bryant credit here because Kobe sniffed it out. You know, he came over to L.A., and Kobe was like, what is this? You know
what
I mean?
He's like, he's fugazi. He's fugazi.
Like
Kobe, he called it, man. Come
LA
on.
Is for, L.A. is prime time, and L.A. is Hollywood, and L.A. is this. He's like, but the Lakers win. You know, you may have a persona off the court, and you may do commercials and everything, but when you step in this building, you got to be about winning.
Not smiling and chucking and shucking and jiving,
So I think both of these teams, for different reasons, but I think both of these teams realize if they really, really look at themselves in the mirror, and Houston may trick themselves into thinking, well, we lost Beverly and we lost Monte Yunus, and if we can sign, Josh Smith, keep him on a veteran's minimum or whatever.
Oh, they think that they're close and they don't need to change anything, and that's going to backfire on them. But they did miss two good pieces. Beverly and Monte Yunus are pretty good players. I will say
they
that.
They are,
but
I don't think they win a championship. I don't think either of these teams can do that.
No. Yeah, I agree.
No, definitely not.
I just want to ask you one question. So when you talk about how Cleveland's gone through, well, I'm talking about the difference in the West and the East. Golden State played Memphis, a tough team. Cleveland's played nobody on the caliber of Memphis to get to where they're at.
Yeah, that's fair. I think Chicago's very good. I really
they
do.
Not,
they just
not this, not
they had injuries.
Not this year. Yeah, they were too banged up. They were too banged up to really show what their true defense is about. Memphis overall was a better defensive team than even Chicago was in the playoffs this year. So they played them, and Conley was the only guard I saw really can get into Steph Curry to guard him.
He wasn't healthy. Him and Allen weren't really healthy either, though. Memphis wasn't at their best to play Golden State either. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying is Golden State had an easy run. If you would have said going into the playoffs, the West, whoever would win it, I mean, you would think that you'd have to go through the Clippers or the Spurs to win it. And I'm just saying Golden State, it was kind of an easy road. Pelicans, Grizzlies banged up, and then Houston banged up. You know what I mean?
Compared to the Cavaliers?
I'm not necessarily saying it's easier than Cleveland's, but in terms of the winner of the West, what you have to go through normally, not playing the Spurs or Clippers, to me, was a big break for the Warriors because that's where they would have been tested in terms of dealing with Duncan and Blake and then the different shooters and also Chris Paul, you know, being able to duel Steph Curry. It would have been a whole different game, whole different series. It wouldn't have been over in five games, I'll tell you that much.
No, I don't agree. I agree with you on that. I just think that what Houston did to the Clippers showed that L.A. is not ready. The Clippers aren't ready because to be up 3-1 and let a team come back and beat
you. Yeah, that's a whole other thing. I blame that more on Doc, the GM, and I don't know, Blake Griffin, that turnover in that game. But he had a great series. See, I think Blake has turned the corner. I think he's turned the corner.
Monster.
I think he's a monster. you know, the fact that he's getting 6-7 assists, I mean, that's huge. He's turned the corner. So, I don't know. We'll see. So, listen, Monday, you got to call us because we want your finals pick. If you can't, then maybe give it to us now. We're going to hear from you Monday, or you want to throw in your finals pick now?
I can throw it in there. I'll try to call Monday, but in case I can't, I'll throw it in there.
Okay, throw it in now.
You know who I'm going with. I'm going with Golden State and six.
Golden State and six. That means they're winning at Cleveland.
Yeah.
Okay.
All
righty. And who's MVP? Who's MVP?
The same one it is now.
Rick Barry?
Chef Curry.
We're going to see Riley Curry at the news conference at the end.
Yeah, Riley Curry, cute as she can be. That's great. That's great. Listen, that's something I can't relate to. Only you guys could relate to that, you know, having girls. So I don't even know that energy. But I tell you this, you don't talk bad about daddy's little girl. So all these people are like, oh, don't bring the daughter to the press conference. It's like, I understand it is work, but at the same time, all that goes on in this society, in this world, can we just lighten up? Really, what's the harm that she's been to two? He doesn't bring her to everyone. She's been to two. Goodness,
exactly.
People, stop it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I thought she was adorable.
Sharing his accomplishments with his family. I think that's a great thing to see that, as far as, you know, including his children with it. And, you know, that's great.
Yeah.
There are always going to be people that hate on anything anyway these days, man. But, that's my prediction, and we'll see. I'll try to get back on Monday and see. I'm certain I hear some different views from both of you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Thanks for calling, man.
We'll be talking some more basketball all week. Take care. Thanks for the call.
All right. Bye-bye.
So we'll get back to that on Monday with the NBA. Real quick with the NHL, Rag. Two game sevens. We both felt it would happen. We both picked the Blackhawks and the Lightning, but now I don't know. I think you kind of said it last episode. Henry Lundqvist at home, Game 7. Are you ready to change your pick?
You know what?
I'm changing mine. Rational thinking
says to go with Henrik. At home, he's the best goalie in the game. He's got all the playoff experience. He's had an up and down playoffs, especially against the Lightning. But
yes. You
know what? The reason I thought the Lightning would win, I still think is the case. I think they're faster. I think they're more skilled. I think they can put pressure on the defensemen of the Rangers. And I think between Johnson and Stamkos that they can keep pressuring Henrik Lundqvist, and he's shown that he's giving up goals this series in particular. So I think the Lightning win tomorrow night. I think they win 3-2 and go to a Stanley Cup final.
I'm going against my own pick, and I'm going against Ray. I'm rolling with my boy Chris Bengus, and I'm riding out with the Rangers. An Islander fan is like, you know what? It's time to root for New York and the Rangers. Madison Square Garden, the lights have been off for so long with the Knicks. Let's go to the finals. Rangers win 3-2. Got to do it. So, and you know the NHL for ratings, they want Chicago and New York, two of the original six teams.
What do you think about the other series, Blackhawks
and Ducks?
Well,
this is, I picked the Blackhawks, so I'm going to stick with them. But, boy, this is going to be fascinating. The Ducks are they're at home, and they're tough. They're really tough. The Ducks might win, but I'm going to go with the Blackhawks. I think the Ducks might win.
You know what? I'm going to go with the home team in this one. I'm going to say I had the Blackhawks originally. I'm going to say the Ducks. I'm going to say that lineup, that big, strong lineup, is going to defend home ice, and they're going to win, and we're going to have a Tampa Bay Anaheim.
The NHL.
And the NHL is going to hate
will regurgitate
it.
All over themselves. NBC.
Very good players, but they don't want the
I know,
market.
But nobody, Ray, nobody but the diehard hockey fans will watch that final. Tampa and Anaheim, I don't even know if I'll watch it except for, like, just for our show. You know what I mean? Like, that's I'm just being honest. That's not what America really wants to see. I mean, you know, yeah, Anaheim is L.A. I mean, Cali, but it's not the, you know, the L.A. Kings. You're not really going to get the L.A. market. I really think that would be very sad for the NHL executives. But either way, it'll be fun. It'll definitely be fun. Let's talk some baseball, and then we got our segment, You're Not Ready, where Ray and Tay talk about a team or a player that you are not ready for. So we have to talk history, because history is happening, seems like every other day in baseball, and part of it is because of a gentleman by the name of Alex Rodriguez. And to me, to pass Babe Ruth and to be third all-time and number one for the American League in all-time RBIs, that's pretty impressive. Steroids or not, I mean, goodness gracious, Alex, you know, congrats. I don't know what else to say, because it's a lot of production, Ray. It's just a lot of production.
It really is, and he's one RBI away from Barry Bonds. So this guy is about to have 2,000 RBI and basically be number two in RBI. He's going to end his career top, probably, I don't have the stats in front of me, but he'll probably end his career
top three in home runs.
Three in home runs, RBI, runs scored. So
wow,
that's the best combination. I mean, that's like Babe Ruth numbers. That's Babe Ruth, Hank Aaron, and, you know, obviously Willie Mays type numbers.
Lanes,
I don't know what
them,
to say. You know, it's kind of unprecedented to have that dark cloud over him, but he did it. He obviously produced those numbers. So first thing is skill. Second thing is longevity. So you got to give him credit, because his resume is so impressive. And again, I don't know how much of it was influenced by steroids. He played in an era that a lot of people did steroids. So I don't know what to, let's put the judgment aside, but let's just say this guy's accomplishment list is phenomenal. You know, we'll figure out in what context to put him in later. But right now, just in terms of his accomplishment, unbelievable.
It is, and, you know, I just got to applaud it. Then, you know, next up, I wanted to – you got to give shout-out to King Felix. The Mariners are climbing up. You know, they've got a ways to try to catch Houston, which, by the way, can we just say Houston with the second-best record in baseball right now is absurd. But King Felix, 8-1, got another victory yesterday. And, you know, the Mariners are kind of hot, and they've been on a roll. Now they're up to 500. They're in second place. They're, you know, trying to get at least in that wild card mix, or maybe they'll catch up to Houston. But you know what, Ray? It's time to really say Houston looks like they're not going anywhere. And they just keep playing and winning, and they're up six games. And before you know it, we're at June. We're past the quarter mark. I mean, can we start to stamp the Houston Astros as legitimate?
I think we can. I think they are legitimate. Will they win the division? I don't know. They might still have to, you know, beat out a good, you know, L.A. Angels team that's underachieving, like you said, a Seattle Mariner team that's got probably, you know, potentially got the MVP and the Cy Young winner on the same team, so maybe they come back, and if Robinson Cano starts to hit for power again, you know, they could do some things. But yes, they are legit, and they'll be there. They'll be there at the end of the season. Now, you know, I think some teams will definitely fade, and I think some teams are not legitimate, but these guys are. I got to say, the Houston Astros are legit, and they'll be there in September.
So our Yankees are back in first place, and I'm kind of happy to see that. Is it something that the AL East, can fans just say that this year it's going to be just a revolving door where, you know, look, from first to last, it's only four games. I mean, Boston could still wind up winning this thing. I still think they might need to make some moves. And I believe they'll try to go get Cole Hamels. You know, maybe they'll, you know, go get somebody else. But do you think that basically it's just going to be Tampa's in first, then Baltimore's in first, the Yankees in first. I mean, to me, I feel that Baltimore is the best team, so eventually they're going to start to get it together and pull away. But, hey, I mean, you got to give the Yankees credit at some point. The bullpen and timely hitting is, you know, if the starting pitching could ever get healthy and get it together, maybe the Yankees could hold on to it. What are your thoughts with that?
It's possible, but I don't think the Yankees are for real. I think that we've seen it time and time again with these older teams that what happened to Ellsbury, you know, A-Rod might get hurt, Beltran might get hurt, McCann, Teixeira, all these older guys, you know, come August, come September, when you're starting to play these games that really matter, they might need to rest. And, you know, the good thing is nobody's running away with the division. So as long as everybody's hanging around 500, Yankees have as good a chance as anybody. But I think eventually one of these teams is going to put it together. Like you said, Boston looks like they're a piece or two away. I thought they'd run away with this division. But maybe it's the Orioles. Maybe it's the, I don't know if the Rays are for real. Maybe Toronto. Somebody will start to run away. The other thing to keep in mind is nobody from this division is making a wild card. So you're either going to win this division and go to the playoffs,
yeah.
Or
you're
not going to
win. You win and you're in or you're out.
So
no,
so
you're right about
pressure
that.
On the Yankees or anybody in the AL East. But yeah, I'm not sure about the Yanks' ability, you know, to hold on here.
Now I got to ask you this because the 22-year-old is doing big things. He's on pace for 63 homers. Might not be realistic, but over under, does Bryce Harper hit 50 home runs this season?
You know what? I don't think he has enough protection in his lineup, and I think they'll start to pitch around him. So I think he'll slow down in the second half. I think he'll have maybe 40, 42 home or something like that.
Okay. Batting 331 with 18 homers, the ribbies, 43 ribbies. I mean, this guy is,
you know what's crazy?
He's figured it
out. You know
what's
crazy? Is that we talked about Miguel Cabrera and we said, oh, that's a once-in-a-lifetime thing and the Triple Crown since the 67 and Yastrzemski and whatever. Bryce Harper is very close to being a Triple Crown, you know, candidate. So is Nelson Cruz, by the way. But Bryce Harper doing some big things.
And the Prince is back. Shout out to Cecil's son. He's finally healthy, and it's good to see, right? Like, you know when guys have got talent and they just get injured, and sometimes fans forget or give up on them. But for him to be, you know, back top of RBIs and of batting average, Prince Fielder is having one heck of a first half. He's going to be an all-star. 38 ribbies, you know, tied for the AL lead with Cruz, and then the batting average, what is he, 368 now? I mean, that's great to see, especially for a team that's, you know, not been so good lately and a player who's just been hurt. So maybe that deal starts to look a little bit better for them if he carries them to, you know, maybe a wild card this year or next year, you know?
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And you know what? Josh Hamilton, if he starts hitting, you know, he's batting like 091, but I think Hamilton will get it together. I think being back in Texas is the best place for him. He needed to get out of L.A. But if Hamilton starts hitting, that can only help Prince Fielder.
Oh, definitely. And you never know what happens with Hamilton, because when that guy gets going, I mean, he's almost like a Steph Curry, man. He just starts banging out homers like every day, and you're like, what? Okay, he's healthy and he's well again. So it's time for our segment, Ray. I think it's the best way to end it. You're not ready. Ray and Tay talk about a player or a team that we think is just on the rise and you have not been thinking about, checking out, nothing, and you're not ready. Ray, I'm going to let you go first. Who am I not ready for, Ray?
You know what? We're talking baseball, so you're not ready for a young, skinny kid, 5'11", 170, from Windermere, Florida. He was playing for the Dodgers. He was kind of lost in the shuffle there. Little skinny defensive player. And you thought to yourself, all right, maybe he'll get on base. Maybe he'll steal a few bases. But you didn't think much of him offensively. He was a career coming into the season. He was a career 287 hitter. But this cat, D. Gordon, second baseman for the Miami Marlins, goes home, is batting 376. So a full 90 points above his career average. And granted, it's only been
four seasons
with the Dodgers, but this cat is coming out like bam! And on a bad team, that's hard to do. This guy might win himself a batting title, and nobody expected him to be this good of an offensive player. I mean, this guy, I'll read you his stats. 2011, he had 56 games played, right? Batted 304. So, all right, you know, that's not bad. The next year, in 87 games, he batted 228. The next year, in only 38 games, he batted 234. And then last year was about his career year. He batted 289. So you figured, all right, he's a 260, 270, 280 hitter. Maybe he'll steal some bases. Boom! Through 45 games, 194 at-bats, batting 376. Your boy's got a 2.7 wins above replacement. D. Gordon, you're not ready for D. Gordon. And wait till that team starts winning. More people are going to start talking about D. Gordon down in Miami.
That is really impressive, and he is, you know, you thought they were getting him for the glove and the speed, and now it's turned into something else. Well, this is a team that I think we both might have predicted them in last place in the AL Central, and right now they're tied for first. I'm talking about your grandfather and your uncle's Minnesota Twins. Shout out to Kirby Puckett. Rest in peace. They're 28-18, tied with the Royals, ahead of Rays Tigers. I'm talking about the Minnesota Twins. Minnesota, stand up. You got AP's going to come back and play. You got the Twins, the Vikings with Teddy Bridgewater. The Timberwolves have the number one pick and a young team. Wow,
sounds
Minnesota.
Sounds like you're ready to get yourself a second home in Minneapolis.
Wow, Minnesota. Yeah, man. They got the Super Bowl coming. But let me tell you what they're doing. Torrey Hunter's batting 280. The constant veteran doing his thing. Brian Dozier, my fantasy favorite guy, has been killing it at second base. He's got 9 homers. Then you've got Torrey with 29 ribbies leading the way. And then, of course, you've got the man, Joe Mauer, who is really doing things with 48 hits, okay? I mean, this team, you got Eddie Rosario with the base percentage, 348. This team has got timely hitting. Mauer and I think the main thing you're seeing is that Mauer and Torrey Hunter are sort of leading the way, and the rest of the guys are just, you know, chipping in and doing what they need to do offensively. Now, pitching, they've got, you know, only one starter with 5 wins, a couple guys with 4 wins, but, you know, they're young. I think they're exciting. I don't think this will last, but I will say this, they're not going to finish in last place. And, you know, it's good to see, you know, the guys pitching pretty good. You know, they've got a good bullpen. Kyle, what's the guy's name? Gilbert is doing good. You've got an ERA, he's at, 270-something. You're getting strikeouts. Phil Hughes, can you imagine this? Phil Hughes is leading them in strikeouts. He's got 4 wins, 41 strikeouts. Yeah, that's your guy, Phil Hughes. You remember him. And what's the best part of Minnesota?
Boy.
That's right. The best part is their bullpen. They need some help with starting pitching, but their bullpen is keeping them in games, led by Glenn Perkins with the 18 saves. So you got to like that, and I'm happy for them, man. You know, Blaine Boyer's got 9 holds. So Minnesota Twins, you're not ready.
The one thing I will
ready.
Say about the Twins, and you got your
you're
boy
surprised
Trevor.
They're there, though.
No, I'm definitely surprised they're there. I picked them to be last. But, you know, you've got your boy Trevor Plouffe doing his thing.
Oh, yeah, Trevor Plouffe's doing
but
good, too, yeah.
Here's the thing that I'm most happy about is they went out and they paid Joe Mauer, and it didn't completely backfire on them. You know what I mean? I would hate to see a team like this finally pay their hometown star, their hometown hero. Now, I'm always worried about when you pay a catcher because their body just breaks down, but I'm glad that he's delivering. I'm glad that they're winning because the small town market finally has their star. They finally pay him, and then if he's in last place for 3-4 years, that just makes you feel terrible about baseball and small markets and having a star. So I'm glad that Mauer's play, because he's bounced back because he didn't play so great last season. They moved him out of the catcher position. But I'm glad he's playing, and I'm glad they're winning because, you know what, I'd like to see Minnesota win, and I'd like to see these small market teams enjoy some success.
No, I think it's great. Look, everybody have a great sports weekend. We'll be back Monday with our NBA Finals preview. We're going to break down all the matchups. We're going to give you our picks. We'll get ready for the Stanley Cup Finals because we'll know on Monday who's in it, and we'll do the same with that. And more baseball, and who knows? We might even have some big news in the NFL between Hardy and Brady starting on Monday, so we'll see. So have a great sports weekend, and thanks for listening.
See you on the flip side.
We're out.
We're out. Give me a statement, I might spread the word. Give me a statement, I might spread the word. Give me a statement, I might spread the word.